Thanks everyone to for joining today. We're here with Juan Domingo and Iker Mujica, top 10 at the Mar del Plata Worlds, Team Racing World Champions, and Nations Cup winners. So first of all, hi Juan, hi Iker, how are you?
Fine. I don't know how to say it. It was pretty cool to be there on the Worlds. And thank you to my teammate also, Iker, that has been with me. And that's it. Thank you everyone to here now. And we will start now. So that's it.
I think it was a great experience being in the world. So I would like everybody to take all the questions they want to ask, and that's it.
So let's kick off with your starts. You're both from Clunautic Cambrils. When did you start sailing, and where did you start together the same year?
No, Iker, I think he started 2 years before when he had 6 years old on 2016. And I started 2 years later. And then we were fighting until that moment. So yeah, that was the case. We started those on Cambrils, and from there we are very great friends until that moment. So that's it.
I think it's about right, and I would say being all this time together has made us like trying to win each other. Has made us like escalate the level so much. So I think it was like really good for us both.
How was it training together? Have you been training since you both started together, or one was in a higher group and the other one caught up? How was the relationship between the two of you in that aspect?
I think Iker on the first year, he was winning me for sure because he had 2 years of experience more. So then I think the second year we were more equal. Iker still was winning me, but then we were very equal level, so it was okay. No, Iker, I think
I would say nearly the same. The only thing I could say, adding up what he said, is there are some days training together that are bad because we can get I don't know, different ideas and different
they're
situations
angry.
and get angry, and other days that we're like friends like from years, and that will never change, I think.
Yeah, we on the water we have a lot of fights, but on the land we're pretty okay. So it was a good relationship. So
Okay, so yeah, it makes sense. Like, if you're fighting against each other and you're the rivals, of course, there's gonna be tense moments, but it's what you're saying at the end, you're still friends, right?
yeah, for sure.
Now, Leandre, your coach, is able to join us. He's here with us now, so maybe he could give a bit of opinion about you two and how they were different and similar in what aspects. So, hi, Leandre, first of all.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, so I was hearing to you guys, and yeah, they started so young at 6, 7 years old. They both came from the second team. It was how was the name? The Group 3 Plus. You
Yeah.
remember that, guys? And yeah, we had there Uriol Oliva was the coach from that group, and he was already telling me, Leandre, we have kids 6, 7 years old that they can do it pretty good if they start sailing seriously from now. And yeah, that was maybe the key, identifying the talent so early. And one of the other things that I would add, it's not always been a fight between them because they grew together, but they also had a very strong group around them, which the competitiveness was not only between them, but all the group was really focused, really hardworking, and I think they could learn from the older guys too.
teacher, if you know, maybe John Fargas was our like our level to go, like our objective to be equal as him. He was like our dad. It was pretty cool.
For giving context to the people, Juan Fargas is now 18 years old, I think, or 19 maybe.
19.
18 years old, he should be. And when they both started, Juan was the only one of our club in the first division of Catalonia. And he was 10 years old maybe, or 11 years old, and all the other guys were 6, 7, 8, 9. So we always said that our captain was Juan, and behind them, we had all these guys, and they are doing pretty good now. Not only these two guys, that for me it's like the top of the iceberg, but all the other guys from the club, they are doing great results in Laser. For example, now in the Europeans of Ilka 6, two guys from Parma, one did the first, team could win, and another guy made the fourth place, but Juan was there and finished 10th. So I think all the team is getting good results, not only these guys.
So this is quite interesting. You had the captain followed by the squad. How did you manage to progress and get that group of kids to improve so much? How was it with such a big difference of age? How did you manage to coach them with Uri to get them to improve and raise the bar so high?
I don't know, and now maybe these two guys can give us another point of view, but from our side, from the coach's side, it was always like, okay, we want to get better, so we need to start training more seriously than what we've been doing, and we started taking very seriously all the theories, taking very seriously to copy the sailors that were sailing better than us. When we went to races like Spanish Championship or any international regatta, we were trying to film the best sailors and then looking those videos at home to know how they sail. And we were, I would say, growing or learning together, because even me as a coach, I started with 18, 19 years old, and now I'm 26, so of course, I learned all the way from that point to here. And yeah, we were improving and without any problem talking to the kids, like, I don't know this thing and I'm learning that too right now. So yeah, maybe that was the key. So everybody felt like they were contributing to something bigger than only itself.
Okay, so it was like constant learning and growth for the whole team. We can maybe speak a bit about also like inside the trainings, how were you comparing against each other? Like how was the relationship and the environment with regards to Iker, Juan, and the rest of the sailors? I know Jago was also in the team, no? That he's now sailing for 20.
Yeah.
So how was it? How did you foster the growth inside the team but in the trainings?
So... Okay.
If you want to talk.
Go on, Leon. I think it was maybe Juan Fargas was the leader for sure. And then everybody was trying to go in front of him. And also for sure, Miguel García also, I don't know if somebody knows it. Everybody thought that he was the best. And then he was trying to be the best one of the fleet, so that's why we grew a lot. And then I don't know if I was behind Iker and Miguel García, I was focusing a lot, going to do my best, and then trying to be in front of them. For sure, Iker will do the same, and also Miguel and the other people. I don't know why. That's it.
I would say as well, an important part of this was like we had, and the name we got was Dream Team, I think, and Leandre could tell this. But the thing is, I think we had a really good team, really good friends, and we were like the trying to do the best in the water and the best in land, being friends. And I think all of this made an environment that just took us really, really high. Unfortunately, they didn't take like as high as us for the level, but I think it was really, really good. And I don't know, Leo, they could say more about this.
Yeah, I don't know. First of all, for me, it was setting the objectives for every kid. We tried to set the objectives, like, for you this year, we expect you to get to Spanish Championship, for example. Then I expect you to get top 20 in Spain, or I expect you to do this type of results in international regattas. And when we have this done, maybe we can try to plan a campaign to do Europeans or try to get to Worlds. But speaking about objectives, what I would say is that the first year that we talked with Joan about getting to Europeans, it sounded like crazy. It was,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm setting objectives from a realistic point of view or I'm just thinking too high right now. And the same thing with you, Iker. I do remember one Spanish championship in Masnou that we were selling really bad at the Spanish championship because he felt bad and he was ill all the championship. And we were eating a pizza in the Telepizza, and I remember talking with him. We were 60 or something like that in the Spanish championship at that moment. And we were thinking, we have to change a lot of things if we want to get to the Europeans next year. And I think that I was talking with every one of the kids about their objectives. And then the team knew that if everybody was working hard all together, they might get to it. And maybe Juan qualifying for the Europeans, it was the first boy from Club Nautic Cambrils that got to the Europeans. So that was a game changer for us. Like, okay, we can do it. And from that point, we started to believe even more in us. And we're thinking, okay, if we keep training like that, we can reach any goal.
So I have a lead-up question from here. Similar to objectives, but as you're saying, you did some objectives different for every kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was different between Iker and Juan's personalities? And what was similar? Like, what would you say maybe would be the champion traits between them that you were like, ah, yes, this is the same for both of them?
Well, in my opinion, they have been very different all the years. And if I have to compare it with something, I would say that from my point of view, I don't know, guys, if you think like me, but maybe Juan was more talented from the beginning, and you could feel that he was fast in all the ways of sailing and very fast in downwind. So he was come back doing incredible comebacks every race. And then Iker was like very, like, he was thinking all the time and doing great questions, but maybe you could not see that speed from the beginning. So for me, it was more like talent versus hard work. And the common trait between both of them was that they are really smart and they were doing really smart questions every time and trying to learn from their mistakes every race, every training. And yeah, what I would say to add something is maybe you can think, okay, today Iker is not concentrated or Giovanni is playing too much. But once they hit the water, they would switch something in their head and start sailing to win every single exercise in the training. So that was the common trait.
So the common trait was their ambition and their will to win every second they could, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then from Iker and Joan, what do you think was something the other person was really good at? Like, what was something that you envied and you were like, oh, I wish I was as good at them?
Looking at Joan, of course, downwind.
Yeah, I'm agree with that for sure, because I don't know, on downwind I have something that no one has it. It was like magic, not magic, but I don't know, I had a good feeling. And for sure, Iker, maybe from the beginning, no, but on the last years, what he had very good was firstly, the concentration, and secondly, the starts. He had always the first start because he wasn't the fastest of the fleet, and he wanted to have that advantage from the other people with the start, and then he could play better with clean win. So I think that was a hard point.
Okay, nice. So it's nice to see that each of you had something that you were looking at the other person. And we have here Ton with us that was coaching two guys that were in a similar situation to you, that were Malcolm and Henrik. And I think he has something that he wants to add now about this, your relationship or theirs. In with you, Ton.
Yes, hello guys. I'm lurking here in the background doing the technical sides. I've also been a club coach, and now I'm doing more private coaching. And I have a few questions regarding the dynamics. You talk a lot about how you grew up together and you started as a beginners. But then as you got better, I assume that you also had some external coaches. And it's quite common today that sailors, they sail a lot with the club and also go abroad and maybe have a secondary or even more than one other coach to get new input. So my question is basically, first to the coach, how do you, like in your training, how is your process when sailors come back with new input and new ways of sailing that you're not familiar with? That's one question. And for the sailors, I have the question, like when you have this new knowledge, it's often that maybe your home coach is not familiar with what you learned. How do you do to find the time to train these new things that you learn? Because often you go away and then maybe you have three days and then you come back and then you need to continue training the new things that you learn. But how do you find the environment to do that? So maybe we can start with the coach question.
So at the very beginning, I was not having it that they were leaving to train with another people and then come back. So we tried to set some rules and try to say, okay, if you want to leave, try to say us something before and try to don't have any training or race the same days because we have a calendar. And if you're not following all the calendar, how can I justify it in front of other parents that maybe wants to leave? And that was something for me because I don't know what do you think, guys, as a coaches, but it was not that common 10 years ago to have external coaches. So yeah. For me, it was something strange, but I think that we learned a lot from that because our process was maybe both of you started to go with Simone, I think the same year or some trainings or other coaches, maybe also with 541 coach, do you remember too?
Yeah.
So, every time they came back, if they had something new or they learned something new, we put that for everybody. Or maybe at the very beginning with me, like, what did you learn? How did you train? What maybe how this coach explained this part of the race or how is he teaching that? So I could add something to my coaching skills. So this is why I say that we learn together, because if they come from with something new from another coach, why would I say something bad? Just try to learn from that, and if it's good, just add it to your sailing skills.
That sounds like a great approach, I think. I'm also wondering, like, I understand that you were very positive to new influences, but how did you find the time to like understand them and also teach them to your other sailors? Because, well, as a coach, I know it's a very time-consuming process. And now lately you have a lot of good sailors and probably then you also have a lot of external coaches that will influence your training group.
For me, the key was that they knew why they are applying new techniques, or why you were selling like this 2 months ago and now you're trying to adapt something new. If it's because you need some more angle, or you need some more speed, or you're trying this because you want to pump different, makes sense. But try to find a reason. And if you find a reason and maybe I'm not agree with that, try to show me that it's better. And I don't know, I'm trying to think something that, I don't know, maybe with tacks or maybe with some downwind skills, we were teaching something different and they showed me this is better and we want to say like this, or we think that this way is better. So, okay, just adapt it to your skills, and if you can do it in racing, I'm okay with that.
I think the important part of this was always, I remember we came back from, I don't know, a weekend sailing with another coach and everything. And I think the important part was like both of us understood that when we had something new to that we wanted to apply, we always told him and said him, look, I want to do this because of this, and this is what it can do. So I think that that part was, he would say, like, he would get us a feedback and he would say, I don't agree, I agree, whatever was the feedback. And mm-hmm. after that, we try it. We say, okay, it's better, it's not. And it depends always, because we wouldn't try different things. For example, a day before a regatta, an important regatta, or that's an important part for like looking onto the calendar and looking what we would do next days or what, or next regattas or whatever.
Yeah. I would say the same. Always when we knew something new, we were just commenting with our coaches like Ori and Leandre, and then we say, okay, if it's good, let's do it. And for example, other times happens that they show us another thing that different as our skills, and then Leandre wasn't agree, or even us weren't agree, so we didn't take it that idea. So, and that's it.
Yeah. Trying always to add good ideas from anybody.
Yeah.
For example, Ton, I have to say something here. From the first time we met in Monaco, I think, 3 years ago, and you were filming with a drone. And that was the first time that I thought, maybe I have to buy a drone and start doing the same thing as Ton.
And he bought a drone.
We did that.
And he bought it.
And we bought it. And it was because you and another coach that used that drone in Venice. And we said, yeah, okay, we got to buy a drone.
I'm happy. all right, but it really sounds like you have a positive atmosphere in your group. Hmm. That's good to hear. Pablo, I will hand back the question to you.
Yeah, I have a question. Now we could maybe focus a bit on the last few months where you got to Mar del Plata. I've been told that you had a quite intense prep going to Argentina, training and everything. How were those last few months for you two? Because you were... Also, well, Iker, you were quite big, no, the last few months already, from what I've been told. So how was it for you to preparing the championship and just the overall finish of your career?
I can say mentally it was harder than what I have ever thought it could be. And there were some days you would like try to say, okay, I'm not going tomorrow back to sailing because I don't want. And then you would keep harder, train better, and bad days, you had to do whatever for the next day to have a good day. And then I think the important part was we had a really good coach, Happy, and I think John agrees that we had a really, really, really extensive preparation, and this, I think, made us a really good team in synchronization, in tactics, in everything. And I think this helped us a lot, especially for team racing and as well for the preparation in the championship. Like the conditions in Mar del Plata are not the same to Garda, to in Cambrils are really different.
I totally agree, because I remember the first day that we trained team racing on Cambrils, and we were a complete disaster, for sure. Happy was saying, what an horror. And we keep going, we train more and more, and then we finish world champions. So it was a pretty cool So, and on the other part of knowing how techniques for long winds, it was much different because it's not the same Mediterranean that ocean. So we had to learn a lot how to pass the waves, because on Mar del Plata, on down of the wave, there is no wind. And maybe there are 3 knots. And up of the wind, there were like 15 knots. So we had to move a lot and knew another skills that we didn't knew. And that day, that's what happened. So
yeah, that especially for me, I was in the Worlds. I did the Worlds with between 64 and 65 kilos. And it was really, really hard for me with that waves. But I would say I'm pretty happy with what I did. And yeah, I had to adapt a lot the technique, because it was really, really different to what I was like normally sailing like.
And how was your preparation differ between you two? Did you have the same preparation for the Worlds, or how was it different?
I think on Iker was like outside preparation on the land. Iker, I think his objective was to have less weight, and mine was to get more weight or more be stronger, because on Mar del Plata there is a lot of wind, so I have to manage the hard wind. And also on water, I was always trying to do better the upwinds, and on the reverse, Iker wanted to have better the downwinds, because they were the weakness points for us. So I think it was that one.
And Leandro, during the last few months, did you leave them completely to fly free, or were you giving them a hand also in the last few months?
Well, it was a mix, because since this July, I was not in the club anymore. So the last months of preparation, they have been totally alone. Of course, I've been always there through at the phone, at WhatsApp, or whatever they need me. But the coach was happy, and any race they went, they were going alone, not with me. So yeah, I'm really thankful for happy to take over the Spanish national team, because I think the preparation approach was very professional for those kids, and I think that it was the preparation needed, taking into account that the world was in December, because from the last important race in Spain, it was in June, so it's 6 months until the Worlds. So you need to prepare it carefully, and you have a lot of time. So these kids with 15 years old grow a lot in 6 months. So I think they did like physical preparation. They also tried to adapt a little bit the diet so they could win weight or lose weight or get stronger, as Joan said. Doing a little bit of gym, because Joan never did a lot of gym in the opties, but he had something special to hike, but he was not training physical. But yeah, I think Happy did a really great job with the team, and it was hard because it was a 6 months preparation and at very different conditions from what we've been sailing in the Mediterranean. So yeah, very happy with that.
I think Leandre didn't take in part like in the water, I would say, in these last 6 months, but he really took into work as a coach, talking to us every day by the phone, obviously. But I think that was an important part as well, because yes, he wasn't physically with us and he wasn't training with us, but he always was like giving us like emotion, I would say it, emotional company or something like that, that like he was helping us. He was saying, how did you feel today? Everything, you know? And that, for me at least, it was a good part he did that.
Yeah, from my point of view, if there's one coach in the water, why would you try to say different things from the coach? Just try to sum something to the team, to the great dynamic they were in. So just try to help them.
Right. So it's really nice how you were helping them the last few months, also from a more like psychological coaching, no, let's say. And your preparation was for the Worlds was amazing. I was following you around, and every time you're going to Argentina and everything, and it was quite impressive what you achieved as Spain as a whole, the five of you. And yeah, it was really good, and I'm happy you did an amazing job. And we can maybe now move on to questions to see if anybody wants to ask any questions. I think Miquel Rosselló, that has Juan's old boat, wanted to ask some questions. So let's see if he can join us now and maybe ask them, and we can start with the questions now. Let's see if he's, if he can speak.
Hi.
Can you put the camera on, Miguel?
Yeah. So I had one question, and it's after winning, after having a good place in the Worlds, how did it affect you a posteriori, like afterwards?
For sure, it was a great moment. We had a lot of emotions. But then when we were more calm on the hotel, maybe what we thought is to keep fighting because it's just the starting process of sailing. We are on the lowest part now. So we have to grow, and it didn't finish the sacrificing moment. So now we have to keep fighting. And maybe, I don't know the objective of Iker Mujica, but for me, maybe, I don't know, maybe go to another world championships, or maybe if I can do some Olympics. But I know it's a so hard process that I have to fight a lot. And it will see, but keep fighting for sure.
On my opinion, I would say it was great winning, of course, but I would say I woke up next day and saying, okay, and now what? What will I do, like, after? And the question is, okay, do I have a boat prepared for what I'm doing tomorrow? What is my plan, like, now on?
Okay. Is that the answer? Is that a good answer for you? I was coaching Miguel today, and he had two more questions. He said, how would you define a good training day? What would be a good training day for you?
For sure, one that you learn something, because for sure, one day you wouldn't learn all the things that you have to learn. But just learning one every day, I think, is a very good process that will keep you so high, I think. It's my psychological idea. And I always try to do learning something new, or maybe doing it better. For example, one day, light wind. Okay, my objective is to do good tacks, soft ones. And every day was I having I had a new objective. So that's one.
I think my answer would be around the same, but it's basically asking myself, and as well with the coaches, and saying, okay, was it a productive day? Did I learn something I didn't? And what things did I do right? What things did I do wrong? And it's basically like the briefing we always do and say, okay, this was good, this was bad, and take notes over everything we did.
And for you, Leandre, as a coach, how would you define a good training day? Because with lots of kids, it's hard for all of them to fulfill their objectives at the same time, no?
Yeah. The first thing, and it's more a mindset thing than a good training day, is that we always said, whenever you think that you know everything or that you cannot learn anything else, you're done. And the learning curve gets flat, totally flat. And if you want to keep learning every day new things, you have to think to yourself, okay, I can learn a lot of things and every day I can learn something new. So try to set yourself little objectives for every training, like 2 or 3 objectives, and try to reach them every training. Simple things like, today I want to attack this way, or I will try to get 90% of the starts, great. And I will try to get all the win shifts that there are today. And from the coach point of view, a good training is always when the kids want to listen to you in the theory and they want to get to the water. And when we are in the water, they are asking me all the time, when do we get another exercise? Can we start? I love when the kids train by themselves when we are just waiting. I hate when they are on my rib all the time. I tell them, go train tags or go train some starts. Don't be here. You're lazy. And yeah, I think that something that we always did is at the end of the training, we tried to do some racing between us. I had like a overall did by myself. And we were always actualizing that. And it was a fight. And we did protest at land and videos and everything, like a normal racing. And if they have some mistakes, it's also good. So I can tell them, look, if you think that you had a perfect day, here you made a terrible mistake, that if you do this in a racing day, you're going to get a bad result. So a mix of everything, having a lot of motivation to train, but also doing great things and bad things. So as a coach, you can teach them at the meeting or at the debrief or whenever it is.
There are some questions. Thank you. I heard Iker earlier talk about the taking notes, and this is something I myself have experimented with, with more or less success. So, mm-hmm. Iker, could you tell us what type of notes do you have? Do you write down like a whole sentence, or is it just keywords? Do you summarize each training, or is this more like, now something new happened, so I write that down? And do you save it digitally or physically? Do you have your coach looking at the notes, etc.?
I would say when I meant taking notes, I didn't mean taking notes literally, because I'm a guy that didn't like taking notes, and I don't think that's ever going to change. But I do take notes really like mentally, like having I don't know how to say it. I think it's having like really clear objectives of what I want to do, what I did correct, and what I didn't.
I understand. And
that's something we did. I think with Leandre, that like both of us. Well, both of us. When I mean like coach and sailor, with all the group, I think. We would say we did this wrong, we did this right, and basically we didn't take notes literally, but we did think mentally what we did right and wrong.
I tried everything as a coach, like trying to send them some Excel so they could feel some numbers, as today I did a 6 or out of 10, or in tactics, or in starts, in speed, in downwinds. But none of that worked really well. And what I would say is that at the beginning, it was more theory sessions, like I want you to note that down, but maybe they were 8, 9, 10. When they were a little bit better, and not only them as a group, I think the most important thing maybe in our team was unifying a little bit the ideas in tactical aspects, or how do you plan a race? How are we going to talk about the start? How I want you to think which side is favored? How do we analyze the upwind? How we should plan the downwind or the ridge? How are we going to act on the second upwind, depending on which position we are? And I think these ideas were very clear for all the team. And so maybe when we are talking about noting something down with Iker, was like, today you have not been acting as the plan. So take notes. The plan was clear and you're not following it. Notes taken. That was the way, maybe.
Yeah, I have to say that it's a bit similar to my own findings. It's really hard to get up the kids to take notes and make it efficient. That's probably related to maturity and how you, like what type of training you prioritize. And we have a question here also from Mattia regarding like maturity and like how specialized you should be in sailing. So Mattia, please ask your question.
Thank you, guys. I think you mean me. My name is Matthias. I'm from Stockholm. And some of the kids, I think, are a little bit younger. So they're maybe 10, 11, 12. What are your thoughts on training at that age? You know, should you keep doing, what's a good idea to do other sports as well? How many days per week would you say is a reasonable level of training at that level at age 11, 12?
You want to talk, guys, or should I start? It's for the coach. Okay. So I do believe that if they do some physical training during the week, it's the best thing they could do. If they can, whatever sports it is, if it's swimming, if it's judo, if it's running, it's good. It's good so they are very, very better physical preparated, because it's an important thing. And it gets even more important when you're better, because at the beginning, it's just the difference between being able to handle the boat or not being able to handle it. But maybe when you are 13, 14, everybody can handle the boat. So the difference is if you're fit enough to think while hiking, or you're just fit enough to hike. So it's important to add some physical training to your normal trainings. Here in Cambridge, we had the luck that we can train all the summer. And when I say all the summer, it's almost 4 weeks in July and 4 weeks in August. So that's a lot of days in the calendar. And then we try to sail almost every weekend during the winter. And when you get to do international regattas, you do also 5-4 days regattas and trying to add some training before. At the end, I don't know if they were sailing more than 180 days, but I think a little bit less, maybe 120 days, which almost 1 day every 3 days. So it's a lot of sailing at the end of the year.
I think I'm on that part. Was that we had like, at least me, I think that the coaches had a clear idea that it's important that as sailors being in the runway of trying to have a high level, it's not easy to be always mentally in. So we try to, at least on my side, I try to be distracted, like from well, desde el lunes al viernes, Monday. You know, like between the week and in the weekends, obviously being sailing as much as we could.
Yeah, here the point of Iker is maybe you need another sport just to disconnect a little bit from sailing, and maybe it's even better to reconnect with more motivation the next weekend.
Yeah, because it's a lot of years of training, And what you don't want is to burn a kid that it burn mentally, I mean, a kid that is maybe 10 years old.
Yeah, the progress is not always constant. So maybe 1 year you don't seem to get any progress. You are doing that, but maybe you don't see the results. And these years is, I would say, very important to have another source of motivation, something that gets you to do physical training or gets you to wake up and smile. And if it's another sport, it's welcome always.
Great. Thank you very much.
Perfect. We also have a question here from Sasha, and I have a follow-up question to her question, and that is, do you think like it matters the age that you start sailing? Do you think that will affect how motivated you are? So that's a question to Iker and Joan after Sasha has asked her question. So Sasha, welcome. Sasha, are you here with us?
I think he went out.
Yeah, we can just ask him ourselves.
Yeah. So the question is, when did you guys begin sailing? And the follow-up question is, how did that affect your motivation long-term during your optimist career?
So, well, how we said before, I started 8, Iker started 6. And I think my objective when I was younger, they were just having fun. Okay, fighting and doing the work, but just the real objective was being happy, having fun with friends. And then when we grew a bit more, it was much more competitive, and it didn't for sure it's not a work, but it looked like for some moments. So you have to go on the weekend to train because maybe somebody's training and they are taking an advantage of you. So for sure it affects us on the next years, and any time to me has I have burned maybe once when I was 12, but then I keep fighting, and it was pretty good.
In my case, I started sailing at 6. I started sailing at 6 in the summer activities in Cambrils, and our club manager talked to my mom and said I like how his attitude is going, and I want him to join the team. And then my mom didn't really like the idea, because of course I was really small. And to the ending of the summer, I started like going in the team and everything. And from there until now, we have been working more and more and more.
Guys, do you think if you had started later or even earlier, would that have affected your motivation, like at the end of your optimist career? Like, do you think you can like start too early and then you get tired of sailing, or you can start too late? So then
you never know for sure.
Get in the game.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe if you start earlier, maybe I would be world champion on fleet. And maybe if I start earlier, I had burned, and then I wouldn't be on the worlds. So it depends. We don't know. Maybe if I start later, your head is more activated. It's just you can support much more work, and maybe you could do it better. It depends. Each person is different, so I don't know.
Yeah, every person is a world, maybe.
Yeah.
They both started at 6 and 7, so I don't think you can start earlier than that. It's early enough. If you start between 7 and 10, I think it's very okay. And if you start later than 10, it's also okay, because as Joan is saying, maybe if you're older, you can push a little bit more, or you can start understanding things earlier. You're more mature, so yeah. We had luck that we had a lot of years to work with these kids. It's, yeah. The more years, the better, I think.
Tying into Jon's previous comment about sailing sometimes feeling like a job because you put so much time in it, we have a great question here from Boris that is connected to the disappointment you could feel if, you don't perform as you hope. So Boris, welcome. Boris, if you're here, you can ask the question yourself. Try now, Boris, and see if it works. Okay, we'll have to postpone that question a little bit. We have another question from Antik. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
You're muted, so you need to unmute yourself first. We can hear you if you could just activate the video and ask a question.
I have a question. What do you do to focus in the morning before the competition? Like, you arrive to the marina, and just what do you do to focus?
So, what I have to understand is that how it depends if you start concentrating from the first moment of the day, right? You said, I think.
How do you focus for a competition that morning? What do you do?
So, what I do, the regatta starts the day before. Look in the forecast, be already concentrated, going to sleep before, and then on the morning, on the next day, I think you have to focus a lot. When you are rigging your boat, be focused on talk word of people with other people, and you can rig your boat better and adjust all what you think you have to, and review all the things that are wrong. For example, something that nobody does is that the hiking straps, they never look it for. So sometimes it can broke, and then you have to revise these things continually. And also maybe somebody does it, that having music and being just on your mind. And another thing that you shouldn't do is running a lot, having a lot of sport. So now if you go to the water, you will be already tired. So I think that's all.
Lastly, we have one more question from Tony Matas. Tony, do you want to join us and ask the question yourself?
Today, the connection is not really good.
When
you are in a regatta and you have a bad result, how do you think to that result and continue with your regatta?
So, what I eat always with my coach, Lelo Leandre, that always, if you had a good race, don't think about it. Always, when I came to the rib, my coach was saying, okay, you had now a 60 because a bad result. So then you were more focused. You were with that butterflies on your body that you wanted to be the first one. So if you do a good race, most of people are calm. Now they are, okay, I have now good results. I don't have pressure, but pressure can be useful for sure. So also on the reverse, when you had a bad result, again, don't think about it. Just has been a normal one and you have to continue because a regatta is a long one and everybody can make mistakes. So keep going. And on the next one, you have to be more focused for sure. Don't talk for much people. Another thing that a lot of people does is that you are talking with people. Oh, today on this race there was a sheep that I hate it because I went from top 10 to 60. Okay, don't do it because then on your mindset is this wind is a shit. I can't do anything. So don't do it. It's just, it can work or not, but I did it bad. I have to do it better. So let's try again. And I think it's that all.
In my opinion, I would say the pressure is always going to be there. You can't do anything for it and not to be there. But what you can do is learn to work with it. And you could basically do two things. Work better with the pressure or just say, oh, I have weakness that now I'm not going to do this right, whatever. Or you could just say, okay, I'm going to have it anyway, but let's do it as best as I can.
Mm-hmm. So, Tony, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
And to finish off, we have a question by Boris. But you partially answered that now is, what do you do after a very bad race and before the next start? So we've spoken about what you do when you have a bad race, but how do you prep for the next race after? Do you just have an energy bar and wait for the start, or what do you do?
I take procedures like, I don't know, watching how is the racing course and watching the wind, watching all of this to keep you basically distracted and make you like go into the mood of the next race, because all the races will be different always. And you have to get in the mood in the next race. You can't be thinking in the race before. You can't be doing everything else that does not help you to win the next race. So for me, in my part, is everything procedures that make me not think in what I will do I don't know, tomorrow, or what I did before. It's basically looking the wind, talking with my coach, how did you see this, how do you see that, everything that takes into the focus of the next race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a coach, I would say, to summarize a little bit everything you've been saying now, when you have a good race or a bad race, have your 3-2 minutes conversation with your coach, say whatever you think, how was the race and that. But after that, even you, if you got a first or you got a last place, do the same thing. Go to the start line, do your rabbits, try to understand the win again, try to decide which side is better or which is your strategy, talk that with the coach, and start again. It should be the same. The plan, having a first, then having a last place. And when we lose our mind thinking, oh, now I need a great position to do a better average today, we are not thinking in selling. We are thinking in numbers. So try to focus on what you can control. What you can control is doing your selling with your colleagues. Try to understand the win and then make your strategy. You cannot control the numbers or the other people, what they are going to do. Only what you can do.
Do your best for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Controlling what you can is all you can do in sailing, because especially there are lots of random stuff in sailing that doesn't happen in other sports. There's many uncontrollables, and if you start stressing about them, it's probably not going to be good for your mental health. To finish off, Ton wants to ask one last question. This will be the last, and then we will say goodbye. So what's the final question, Ton?
Sorry, I'm going to go a little bit off topic, but because we have two of the best sailors in the world here, I would like to ask you guys, like, because when you are at your level, you always have a specialty where, well, basically you're the best in the world at something. And let's start with you, Iker. I noticed that your light wind skills are extremely good, especially considering your weight. Do you have any, like... tips for the sailors here, how to improve the light wind to such a level that you have?
You're mute.
That is a pretty hard question to say here, but I don't know. What I can say that what I did was, obviously, when I was really, really small, I remember saying to Uri, because at the start I was with Uri, not with Leandre, and I was saying to Uri always, I hate this light wind, I hate this light wind. And I'm like, all of a sudden I started realizing there is no point of having an excuse, because you won't get better on it. So what you have to do is, okay, stop excuses, let's work on it. And I started to realize it was actually more fun than the hard wind, than the strong wind. And it was fun because when I was small, I didn't like the light wind. And when I was a lot bigger, I liked more the light wind than the wind. So it was pretty strange, but it's basically no excuses, let's work on it, and that's it.
That's a great tip. And Joan, do you have any specialties that you want to share with us?
So, I don't know. My win as always was the upwind, I think, because when I was younger, I was getting stressed, and when, I don't know, the ship couldn't come, I tagged and they go negative shift, with a negative shift, and because I was thinking that it was already lost. But if you are calm and you're conscious that it will come again, I think that was the weakness for me. So I learned how to be calm. If somebody was wrong, I will go up again. And for sure the outwinds were my point of weakness, and then I get it better, right? And that's it.
Thank you.
I have to say
it to you.
Sorry. Yeah, just to add something. For me, Iker was like he had a lot of trust in their skills, in his skills. And maybe we knew that tacking in light winds, he was the best in the regatta. And we also knew that maybe his angle in upwinds was the best in the regatta. So knowing that, we were saying, okay, now we're going to get the most of these skills that we've been training. And maybe that was the key the last year. And Juan was super fast, was super intelligent, super good sailor. And for me, the key was when Juan was having fun racing, he was the best one. There's no way you can win Juan if he's having fun. Maybe if he was thinking too much in things that not related with having fun or enjoying sailing, he was like a little bit more lost.
Yeah.
Of them.
That was, well, when I was just focusing on numbers, I got stressed. But when I said to Lelo, to my coach, okay, now have fun. Don't worry. If it's going bad, don't worry. And then I was having very great results. Very, very ones. Very good ones. It was pretty good. For sure on the worlds, the first day that you were less stressed for sure, because on the last days, you already think, okay, maybe if I stay on this position, I can be second of the worlds, or I don't know how it was before. And it was critical because on the first day, I was having fun. Okay, there is a long race to finish, so let's work. And then on the last days, I get more nervous, more having a focus on numbers. And then I went a little bit worse, but not much. So it was even good. So that's it.
So the key was having fun, no? And enjoying the process?
Yeah.
Good.
That's my key.
I think that's a great takeaway, and I think that's a good way to close the call. That's a great statement. So thanks to everyone for joining. Thanks to Leandra, Iker, and Juan especially. Been very nice chatting with you. We will post this on YouTube after. And yeah, just keep tuned to everyone and see you in the next call, which we will announce soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye,
everyone. Thanks.
Bye.